Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Now, why are you at odds now with Matt Cotrillo?
He mentioned a bad word for a Friday night for high school football games. It begins with R. I'm not going to say it, because then it'll happen. And we're hoping for none of that type of precipitation to visit.
So you're talking about rain?
No, don't say it.
Why?
I'm very superstitious about the R word. And if you throw in thunderstorm with it, then that's just a whole other issue, a whole other problem now. And I'm looking at AccuWeather's hour by hour for Friday, and there's a chance of one of those type of storms from 5, 6, and 7 o'clock. It's about a 50-50 shot.
So you think if we mention the word rain or thunderstorm,
stop saying
it'll happen.
Stop saying it.
Snow.
Okay, that you can say because that is not, you know,
do you really
meteorologically
believe,
possible.
Do you really believe this?
Listen, I do
really,
not.
Do you really believe what you're saying?
I never tempt fate, ever.
Well, I don't know. I've got a whole bunch of tapes from this show that beg to differ.
Don't tempt fate.
Tom Brady will never play in the opener.
I did not say that. I said I hoped he didn't play in the opener.
Loser. I said the entire time, what did I say he was going to do?
Well, and I didn't disagree with you. I didn't think there was enough to actually make it so that he would not play.
You have to have proof.
That was the thing that was missing.
All right. Now let's talk Penn State football. They did a recent national poll where they asked, who's the guy in America you feel sorriest for? And Jack Ham won.
They're all different.
All right, you and I have watched a lot of practice during the course of the preseason. When you look at the athleticism, Jack, what does stick out to you compared to what we have maybe seen the last 3 or 4 years?
Well, I think what I've seen is the fact that at almost every department for this Penn State football team, they are better. They are more athletic. We have bigger, especially at the wide receiver position. You got some guys like the true freshman in Johnson, who's like 6'4 and about 215. We got a lot of more speed out there at the wide receiver position. We're deeper, I think, at every position on this football team. So compared to last year at this time, where we were just hoping and praying that there would be no injuries in key places like linebacker last year, I think right now I think we're pretty confident in the fact that we could weather a storm and injuries in almost every category on this football team.
You mentioned the wide receivers. I'll take a one step inside, Jack. What do you think of what Mike Gesicki has done in his transition to tight end?
Well, I think, first of all, Mike Gesicki, I think, is going to have just an outstanding year. I think, number one, I think it's going to be a guy that Hackenberg will like to go to a lot of time. He's a big target. Runs outstanding routes. He's about 255 now, and he has made, and you and I have both seen, a couple of one-handed catches where maybe the ball was not thrown exactly out in front of him. He reaches back, and he's got those big hands, and brings the ball in. I think he's going to be a comfort level for Hackenberg in the passing game. He's got to be a better blocker as well. So I think it's going to be a breakout year where our tight ends, you know, along with Carter as well, are going to be able to catch a lot of footballs in this Penn State passing game.
Last year when Penn State beat Temple, they ran for 254 yards in the game. this is a pass-happy era in college football, and the rules have helped dictate that. Jack, give us an idea of the value of a really good running game, even in this era.
Yeah, I think, Steve, I think the running game is so critical in, both in pro and college football, and that's one thing that's remained constant throughout all the decades and all the changing and the spread and the wide-open play right now. And like you said, the rules really are slanted in favor of an offensive passing game. But when you control the line of scrimmage, when you are able to run the football effectively, that opens up so many things. I can remember last year in a couple of games where we were able to, like in the Temple game, we're able to run the football. The play action is wide open beyond the linebackers and in front of the safety in a downfield. There's a big gap down there because people all of a sudden have to overplay the run. The run is still, I think, a very, very critical thing. And I think look at just last year with Ohio State. I mean, the running game with Elliott, you know, especially the second half of the season, was a key factor in how Ohio State just got better and better in the quarterback play with that running game. So if you have a running game right now and in this era right now, and I hope Penn State doesn't have to run for 250 yards a game, but just enough to keep a defense off balance, that's what you need, and that's when the play-action pass really comes into play.
He obviously has not played it down in college football yet. He won't until Saturday. But when you have watched Saquon Barkley, what stands out to him either in style or stature?
Well, I think in stature, number one, when you see him, and just truly the eye test, where he is very, very strong from the waist down. They got him listed about 220. I'm not sure he's that big right now, but he's got big, strong legs, and he's going to break a lot of arm tackles throughout the course of the year. I'm sure he'll get a lot of playing time along with Akil Lynch, but he's just a difference maker. You see him out catching the football. He's got good hands. He'll be part of the passing game as well. And again, it's another department. Not that Belton and Zwinak last year were capable running backs, but even with the youth we have out there behind Akil Lynch, this is a very deep running back position for us right now, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of rotation with a lot of different guys playing out there. But Barkley is just seems with the eye test to be just a little bit better than everybody else out there.
Obviously, no one appreciates the work of a two-way linebacker like you do for obvious reasons, and you and I have been treated to seeing some of the better ones do that. Lee, Mowdy, Posluszny, Connor, Mike Hall, that could play run and pass. When you look at the Penn State linebackers, are you seeing three two-way linebackers out there that can handle all of that?
I am. I was very surprised at Kabinda. Kabinda, who's a big, solid 240-plus linebacker right now. And I really believe maybe the real big surprise, the positive surprise of the preseason camp, the way he has come on. He's a tremendous hitter. He's a very physical linebacker. But like you said, in this day and age of college football where you have to spread people out, he is not a liability in the passing game. And he made a couple of plays, an interception on Hackenberg in the preseason camp. So he's still got a lot to learn. I mean, there's going to be things out there that he's going to be seeing for the first time. But the combination of Kabinda and Bell on the outside and Wartman inside, and I think all three of these guys are athletic enough to handle that and stay on the field when a lot of teams go to these spread formations and extra wide receivers. I mean, in space, these guys are all very athletic.
I would think that if you have one really great tackle and one really great end, you still have the ability probably to double each of them. When you have two tackles side by side, how difficult is it, Jack, to come up with a block combination because you probably only can single one?
Exactly. I mean, this is going to be where the advantage for Penn State, those guys really stay healthy. When I'm talking about Zettel and Johnson, but also Barney in that rotation, they're going to rotate, obviously, a lot of guys throughout the course of the year and keeping people fresh in the fourth quarter. But when you have those two tackles inside, I mean, they are both outstanding, but in different ways. I mean, Johnson is a guy, you know, at 320 pounds who is quick off the ball. Quick feet as well, gets in the offensive lineman, and he's going to be a guy that I'm sure all the linebackers, but Wartman especially behind him, is going to be really, it's going to be a luxury to play. You could play downhill for a linebacker with a defensive tackle like that. And Zettel is a guy at 280, not as dominant size-wise as Johnson, but so quick off the ball, good hands. about as athletic a defensive tackle that I've seen in college football in a long time, with all the interceptions he had last year. And Barney is another guy. I mean, I think it's going to be a coming out party for him as well. So he's very solid, 300-pound-plus guy, but he has good leverage, gets underneath people. And all three of these guys in the rotation inside, it's going to be very difficult for offensive line to handle these guys. But I think it's going to start with A.J.
When you're in zone blitz like that, Jack, describe the luxury it is to have a defensive tackle that understands the proper depth of a drop.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Alanian did a pretty good job at defensive end,
yeah.
But when you have a tackle dropping off in coverage, and the way Zettel did, especially, you know, that second half of the Ohio State game, early in the third quarter, he comes up with a pick six going the other way, and that's an athletic move that safeties maybe make back there. You don't think a defensive tackle, and just Zettel has just an incredible athletic ability, and all those guys. I mean, talk about the depth of this defensive line. I mean, we got about eight or nine guys who are going to be playing out there, and I see the drills they did at preseason camp and spring ball, where you're dropping in coverage and you're dropping in a zone so that you're just not a liability in that zone blitz. You can actually react to the football. Zettel could do that. Alanian did it last year a couple of times as well. But from that defensive tackle position, a quarterback never expects on a short, you know, crossing routes or whatever to have a tackle underneath a route like that. And Zettel picked off three last year.
In pure build and ability, Marcus Allen, in a lot of ways, is, wow, that's a safety. I mean, that's a safety. What are the next steps, Jack, that you think he needs to make to move his game forward to become even better?
Well, I'm looking for Marcus Allen to have a tremendous year. I mean, I think he's got all the athletic ability in the world. His baptism of fire last year was the Ohio State game, and what the more difficult situation to put yourself in, and he made some plays out there. Probably could have had a couple of interceptions as well. But, I mean, that's his first playing at safety. And you, that's a position, Steve, that you have to play it to learn how to play, because you got to have the, you know, angles at taking it wide receivers, seeing combination routes at full speed like that, driving on a receiver, not for the collision downfield, but you're trying to go for the interceptions and almost anticipating at times. I think now, after that, playing the second half of the year, for the most part last year, is gained some confidence. Now in preseason camp, he's making plays back there. He's got to just make sure that he tackles in space and open field and gets the guy to the ground. But I look this year for Marcus Allen to come up with a number of big plays. Got great range. That's another thing. What he's got to do a little bit more to fine-tune his game, giving quarterbacks a bad pre-read. Because you look to a lot of times the quarterback looks to the safety, yeah, to get a pre-read initially on what kind of coverage you're in. So all those little nuances that he's going to have to do, which I'm sure he will continue to do, you know, as he gets more and more game experience.
And against Temple last year, it was a couple of big-time pre-reads that they, false pre-reads that they gave Walker, and a rotation that they had where he missed the rotating safety a couple of times last year that really hurt them in that game last year.
And that's, you know, and another strength of our team this year. I think we're going to have one of the best secondaries we've had in a long,
yeah,
time, and deep as well. And those are the things. When a quarterback thinks he has an area or a zone that he thinks on a pre-read, and all of a sudden we're rotating into something different, those are the little things with more, like I said, all those guys with more and more experience in that secondary are going to be able to do. And that's how you cause interceptions for the most part. It's not so much as a great athletic move, is you kind of confuse a quarterback and he's thrown into the teeth of a zone that he thought was not really there.
With improved special teams, what difference does that make for all of us as we watch the game?
Steve, we've been talking about this for a lot of years.
I know, special teams
and kickoff returns, and hopefully we don't have too many kickoff returns this,
right,
year. But to get Hackenberg in the offense into really good field position, not inside the 20-yard line, which happened so many times last year, or a penalty or whatever the case, and you're having an offense that was struggling from the start, all of a sudden, you know, where you dig a real big hole back there inside the 20-yard line, where you really don't run your entire offense back there. You're just trying to gain some yards, get a first down, and get out, and, you know, where you have good field position. If your special teams can do that, and again, this is where we have more athletic guys here right now, both on kickoff return and punt return, they can make big plays and flip field position and, you know, flip the momentum for a football team where, you know, last couple of years, it really has been a negative in special teams for us. I think with the athletes we have out there right now, both on coverage on special team, but also on returns as well, we got a chance to make some big plays.
I think this will be something which, when you and I do the pregame on Saturday, I think they'll hear us hit the same theme over and over again. Both of us feel very strongly this is a very tough opener for Penn State.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, Temple is, first of all, this time part of the year in college football, you don't have preseason games. You have scrimmages among yourselves for the most part. You don't do what the NFL ends up doing with all the preseason and also going to different camps and playing against different teams. This is a coming out party right now, and you got to be good. And that's why defenses are normally a little bit ahead of offenses here initially in college football. And now you got to give Temple a little bit more credit because they have all 11 guys coming back on defense, and they've got a linebacker who's going to Medakevich, who's going to be all over that field. He's a tackling machine for this football team. Their best player on defense, and it's going to be a challenge for Penn State's offensive line to get a helmet on him because he makes a lot of plays against the run, very good on the passing game as well. This is a big-time player, and like I said, Temple's coming back with a lot of experience. This is not the normal Temple team.
Right.
Plus, they're a little bit deeper than normally you could wear teams out like that. I mean, they've built a program right there right now where on defense they're going to play like 7, 8, almost 9 defensive linemen to rotate as well, which should be a pretty hot day there in Philadelphia.
One final question, Jack, before I let you go. This is probably a better question for the end of the year. But as you've now watched a couple of preseasons under James Franklin, which has included him bringing in a couple of recruiting classes, what kind of direction do you see as to how they're building this thing?
Well, I think he's trying to build it from the foundation. I think you see some of the recruits on the defensive side, defensive linemen now coming in. I don't go by the 3-star, 4-star, whatever, 5-star kind of thing. He's got recruiting classes in the top 6 in the country coming in here right now. But you got to build it with the defensive line initially, and he'll get to the offensive line in the next year or so, where you get more and more quality people there as well. But I think, Steve, whether it's James Franklin or if it's Urban Meyer or whatever, that is where the foundation of your football team is right there. And then the skilled people, those guys will come, and that'll be fine. But you build it with those big guys up front here right now, and I think that's what James Franklin is doing, and I think he will continue to do that and as this football team each year gets better and better.
I feel badly now about the fact that you don't believe in the star rating, because in the promo leading up to this, I said you were a 5-star analyst. I know the two of us head to the cliff. I understand.
I can't wait though. It goes by very quickly, Steve, but I'm so glad we got the opportunity. And you know what else? I'm kind of glad they have a tough opponent like Temple here. I think it'll be a mixed crowd. It'll be a lot of Penn State people there, I'm sure, at the Lincoln, Philadelphia. But you know what? I think it gets their attention at preseason camp, and you're much more stickler to detail when you know this is not just a game where you can throw your helmets out there and then or make mistakes and win a football game. This will be a tough football game going into the second half.
All right, partner.
All right.
See you Saturday.
All right, Steve.
All right.
Thanks.
Jack Hamm, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
0-66.
The winning trolley is at Sunbury Motors Kia. 0% financing for 66 months. Sunbury Motors Kia has the winning play with 0% APR financing for 66 months. Why pay interest when you can drive away in any new Kia with 0% financing? Choose from 2015 Kia Fortes, Optima, Souls, Cadenzas, Sedonas, Sportages, and 2016 Serenos. Sunbury Motors Kia has every color and every option available. Plus, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Ask yourself, why pay interest on a new vehicle? Come to Sunbury Motors Kia now and pay 0% APR for 66 months. 36 months. Owning a brand new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
066.
Financing to well-qualified customers through KMF. Restrictions apply. See dealer for detail.
All right, coming up Saturday, 3:30, the kickoff, 2 o'clock, the airtime. With announcers who go to practice. All right.
Did you say announcers who have to practice?
No, go to practice.
Oh, I thought you said have to practice. My mistake.
Nope, show up, you know. So how many hours are you going to spend writing the open tomorrow?
Zero.
It is the dawn of a new season. The curtain rises.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I was going a different route, but I like it.
How brave will the Braves be this year?
Nah, I wasn't going that route.
No, you will eventually.
No. Maybe next season.
It's opening night where everyone has a chance.
Actually, that's closer to where I was going.
Okay, you're celebrating the 50th anniversary of what this year at Shikellamy?
The school.
Yeah, but I mean, who won a, what, 50 years ago, 1965, somebody did something there, won a regional championship?
Yeah, and?
That's what you're celebrating? Like, they didn't win the state championship.
No, it was in Eastern Conference.
Okay, so in other words, you're telling these people in the open they have a chance to win the whole state championship.
Yeah, because they didn't have one at that point.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Tom Brady plays against the Steelers. Steeler fans should welcome that.
Why?
Don't you want to beat them at full strength? Don't you have any pride?
No, I just want to beat them.
He's going to throw for 400 yards and carve that group up like there's no tomorrow.
Sadly, I think you're right.
Man, they are not good. All right.
That is a defense that resembles a sieve.
Yes. Well. Okay. So that's where they are. And Brady will play in the game. And tonight, Utah will open up against Michigan. That'll be at Rice-Eccles Stadium in Salt Lake City this evening. And Minnesota plays TCU tonight. Minnesota actually played TCU pretty well last year down in Fort Worth. Game's going to be up at the bank tonight. So the opening of college football season is here. Possibility of rain tomorrow for the high school football openers. Keep that in mind.
No, it's not. Listen, light rain is okay. You have no dog in the hunt. I know.
So thus, I'll just tell the truth.
You don't care. Listen, there is a chance of some rain. Hopefully it will be close enough that we can still get in on the games and not hard enough that it affects the games. And definitely do not have any thunder or lightning involved in it. That's the worst case scenario for a high school game. Or for any football game, for that matter.
Well, saw that practice yesterday. Thunderstorms rolled through with incredible ferocity yesterday. Had to move inside quickly. And, I mean, they're checking that stuff all the time. And they had to move in that direction quickly and get out of it. Rutgers has big trouble right now. Not only is Kyle Flood under fire, the head coach, but they also now have five current players suspended, including two starters in their secondary. And two other guys that were probably going to play, Rowan Peel and Zon Gross, backup fullback, number two fullback, battling Sam Bergen. Bergen's probably going to win the job. Had probably won the job. Dre Boggs, Nadir Barnwell. Barnwell's already in the center of the first Kyle Flood problem. And I'm trying to think what the other guy. The other guy, let's see, I mentioned DeLon Stevenson, Dre Boggs, Nadir Barnwell, Ruan Peel. I guess I got them all. And Gross the fullback. So that is, that's a huge part of this. That they are, they just released the depth chart. In fact, he was having a press conference today talking about, hey, look, I expect to be the coach this weekend. Well, he'll be the coach this weekend, but he's not going to have players available. They suspended them justifiably right away. And the players were arrested. They have much bigger problems than being suspended. Much bigger problems. The Penguins are up for sale, $750 million. How about that? Mario Lemieux, actually, he took the deferred money he was supposed to get, which the Penguins were going to struggle to pay him anyway. So since he will not get that, he put it into the team, bought it. Well, now they put it up for sale for $750 million. The record for a sale for an NHL team is $320 million, New Jersey Devils. Grand Slam of Golf canceled. Would have featured Jordan Spieth, Zach Johnson, Martin Keimer, and Jason Day. They canceled it because they couldn't find a place to play because they were moving it away from Donald Trump's course in Los Angeles. So that got canceled today. Brady gets reinstated today. Greg Hardy says he might challenge his suspension. Greg, don't be stupid. All right? And you want them to bring up your baggage in an appeal? Really? Really? You had to reduce from 10 games to 4. Be grateful. NFL, by the way, is going to appeal Brady to the Second Circuit Court. But remember, they picked this court. They picked this court. The Dodgers have made a huge move. It is September, thus you can expand the rosters to 40 players. The Dodgers are calling up Corey Seager, their top prospect. And Seager did not exactly hit the accelerator at AAA. It's only 21. Hit 276, not bad. 13 homers, 59 knocked in with 29 doubles at Oklahoma City. But at AA, he hit 355. So we'll see. I mean, this has been the year of the prospect. I mean, listen to the guys that this year, Chris Bryant, Byron Buxton, Addison Russell, Carlos Correa, Corey Seager, Joey Gallo, Lucas Giolito, Jock Peterson, Francisco Lindor, Julio Urias. Noah Syndergaard. Daniel Norris, Kyle Schwarber, Johnny Gray, Archie Bradley, Aaron Nola. Been a huge summer for young stars getting into the mix.
Unfortunately, Aaron Nola did not have a great outing last night. Phillies did win 4-0.
Yeah, I know you panic. I know.
No, I'm not panicked, actually. He was going for his sixth win, had an early exit. But, you know, you're going to have a bad outing every now and then. It's just part of Major League Baseball.
Yeah. 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 Look at all the 300-game winners in the history of baseball. Now check how many times they lost. We had Denny McClain on the show a year ago. He went the last 30-game winner. He won 31 games. He also lost six that year. Buzz in Northumberland. Hi, Buzz. How are you?
Guys, is this the greatest day, or today and tomorrow, are they the two greatest days of the year, or what? I mean, football's getting started. Everybody's undefeated. Everybody's cranked up and ready to go. This is a great time of year.
And then you hit Saturday, and half of them have lost.
Well,
that is the downfall of it.
That's
yeah.
Why today's good. I just wanted to comment on you talking about the Steelers. Don't you think, Steve, Kevin, too, that any really professional athlete like the Steelers, wouldn't they, as pros, want to play the best thing that New England put on the field? I mean, does it really mean anything to beat a team that doesn't have their stars?
Well, okay, that I want to take that in two parts, Buzz. Part number one, yes, you do want to beat them with their best guys. But number two, here's this part. There's also a part of that that's somewhat irrelevant, only because you only have 16 weeks in the NFL, and the goal is to win as many as you can, however you can, to then get to the playoffs. And so while being a big game in the opener and it's Brady and the whole thing, it still is, look, got to win that game somehow and make sure you get into that win category. And the last thing you want to do in the NFL, because history works against you, is the 0-2 teams don't usually do well in making the playoffs. So you want to get off to a good start. And, of course, you want to beat Brady with him being a part of the mix. Yes, that's a professional pride. But there also is this mindset of, look, it's one out of 16. You got to just win and keep going.
I'm not really clear on what's going on with the Steelers, because being an Eagles fan, I'm still trying to figure out what Chip Kelly's doing. But I guess they've had
Sam Bradford. You thought about the Eagles?
Yeah.
Boy, if they do that in the regular season, they're going to score 400 points this year.
Well, you know, Steve, I've gotten excited about the Eagles every year since Mike McCormick. I'm excited for him, but I'm also ready for reality. But we'll see what happens. So I'm looking for a good year for them.
I think they're good. I think they're better than Dallas. But Bradford has to have a big year. He's got to be a guy that I think. I mean, let's get some realistic numbers here. He's going to have to be between 60% and 65%. He's going to have to probably throw between 3,500 and 4,000 yards. He probably is going to need 25 to 30 touchdowns, and he's probably going to need probably 5 to 10 interceptions. If he falls into that range as a quarterback, and he has the natural talent to do it, the Eagles could have a huge season.
I got to say, I had never heard of Sam Bradford before this year, but, you know, I figure if those guys want him, then there must be something about him. Do you think that the offensive line is there to give him the time that he needs to do those things?
Well, that's the big part of it. They need to have that offensive line protect him, because after two ACLs, Bradford, who had very good movement coming out of Oklahoma, can't move the way he used to. Bradford's now what? He's going to his fifth year in the NFL, right? He won the Heisman Trophy in 2010.
Okay, well, we'll be talking a lot as the year goes. I'll be listening a lot anyhow.
Thanks, Buzz. We always appreciate
it.
800-795-9565. Yes, the excitement level of everybody being 0-0, Kevin.
Everybody's got a shot.
Yep. Wake up Saturday morning. How many don't have a shot?
Yeah, but that's Saturday morning. It's like Buzz said, this is Thursday. We'll deal with Saturday when Saturday comes. Right now it's Thursday. Everything's good.
So, in other words, I'm sitting here with Penn State, and I'm saying to myself, everybody's got a shot. Going into tonight, everybody's got a shot.
Sure.
Texas San Antonio's got a shot.
Sure they do. Now, is it a snowball's chance where it's really, really warm? Probably. But it's still a shot.
Do you go back and listen to the tapes of the show?
Yes, and I find I'm 100% correct 100% of the time.
Well, okay, then.
Can't argue with that, can you?
I feel badly for bringing it up.
You should.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the year.
I interviewed Andy Williams once.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, everybody has a chance. Okay. Sure. Chance of what?
Somebody's got to win.
Normally it's the teams with talent. All right, so.
Not always, but normally, you're right.
What do you mean not always?
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
You create your own luck. What are you talking about?
But that only gets you so far. Coming up tomorrow, I'll have more isms for you.
What are you talking about?
Sports isms.
Oh, look, the team, look, nine times out of ten, the team that has more talent wins the game. It really is, as much as you would like to
don't ruin the pageantry for me now. You've already destroyed most of my professional sports.
But the team that has more better guys wins.
It's who plays better that night. That's the difference in a football game, especially in high school.
Guess what? You get the better guys, you probably will play better.
I have seen some very talented football teams have moments of concentration issues where you're not focused on the game at hand, you're looking down the road, and I've seen teams stumble. And in high school, trap games happen a lot.
Yeah, geez.
Now, good coaches don't let that happen.
All right, here's the bottom line. Team with more talent and better matchups wins. It's about talent and matchups. Okay, you can be as unfocused as you want, and if you're exponentially better than the corner, you will catch 10 passes during the game. If they get you the ball.
That's assuming they throw it to you 10 times.
That's where coaching comes in. You got to find the matchup to exploit. Remember we had Brian Scott on the show?
Yeah, it was a little while ago, but I remember that.
Yeah, he played safety in the NFL for years, and at the time we had him on the show, he was playing for the Buffalo Bills. And we talked about the Patriots tight ends, in particular Rob Gronkowski, and what made him a tough matchup. And he said, look, I can cover him stride for stride. He said, but the pure height, he said, look, the guy's really talented. But the pure height and the fact they can put a ball in a spot that I probably can't get to and he can make that catch, he said, makes it a really tough matchup for any safety. Now, I realize that's a logical answer and goes against all the stereotypes that you try to throw out there to people all the time. It's a trap game. They're looking for me. Oh, please.
Well, I'll tell you what. I like week one best of any week of the season.
Talent, matchups. Matchups, talent.
I like week one better than any week of the season. I think high school has an advantage, at least over college, where you've actually played somebody other than yourselves. And the NFL, of course, has the preseason. But week one in high school and college football is my favorite week by far, because there really is nothing you can base it on. As every college team changes every year, every high school team has the same issues. They have graduation, and that team changes as well. That's what I enjoy about the college and high school week one, is no matter how many scrimmages, practices, and everything, you're never quite sure what you have until you're at least at halftime of the first game.
So you're a little depressed in game two?
No, I didn't say that. I said I like week one the best because of that fact.
I like them all. My goodness.
Listen, you can like one a little bit more than the other. It's okay. You make it sound like it's evil that I like week one over week two. You make your most improvement between week one and week two. I've heard that many times, and so have you.
Yeah, that's on the college level. It doesn't go to the high school level. We already had this. This is the third time out for them. If you don't have a read in your football team by now.
But see, that's where I slightly disagree with you there. I think in high school, a scrimmage is a scrimmage. I don't care how you try it, you don't have the same intensity.
Really? So you don't have guys trying to win jobs?
You do, but they're not out there for the entire game. They're only out there for a couple of series.
Every kid is trying to do something well, believe me.
I'm saying they're not. You twist everything I say.
No, you just live in a cliche world. I don't.
I loved Bull Durham. There were a lot of great cliches in Bull Durham to use.
Hey. It's talent and matchups. You take your talent and exploit matchups.
I'm just here. Hope I can help the ball club.
I'm saying that's what it is. It's talent. It really, I mean, as much as we complicate everything. For example, if you're giving a quarterback a false pre-read, you take your linebackers and you slide them out just a little bit with the idea that you think they're going to be in some sort of zone coverage, and then just before the snap, boom, you bring them and you pinch them in and send them, okay? You can do that because you have the talent and the knowledge, and you can create a mismatch by doing it.